A fairly sound pastor announces that a Bethel leader will be leading worship at his upcoming event. Is this a good way to reach out to them? Stay with us as we look at this and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we talk about a very important subject. And I wanted to talk a little bit also when it comes to looking at, rebuking, sharing things with people, and also warning people. And sometimes when it comes to this show specifically, I like to look at things that I'm seeing take place in the body of Christ or outside the body of Christ. And I want to be able to say, how do we answer these things? And I don't always call out names. Now, a lot of times we will. We will say, hey, this person is teaching that. And there's nothing wrong with that. The scriptures are very clear. Hymenaeus, Philetus, Alexander the coppersmith. There are some times, and even those who depart, like Demas, there are some times in the scriptures very clearly that we have people, specific people, teaching false things. And so the scriptures are clear that we can name names to warn them. There are also times when something is happening in front of us and we want to be able to do what? Rebuke it in front of people so that others will not fall into that same false teaching. Let me just point this out. This is from Galatians chapter 2, and I always like to point out the context. I think it's a beautiful context because Galatians 2:20 is one of my favorite verses ever, and it's in the context of a rebuke, which I find really amazing. And also with that, when it comes to Galatians chapter 2, it comes when we talk about rebuking someone to their face, it comes on the backdrop of Paul leaning on the person he's rebuking's testimony of the gospel in order to fortify his own message as the true gospel that he was preaching. And those who came to the churches of Galatia after Paul had left and preached a new gospel, one that he called anathema if someone brings it, okay? So he is using, specifically Peter, his testimony of the gospel, saying, hey, not only me, I'm an apostle according not to man, but of Jesus Christ himself who made him apostle, appealing immediately to God is the one who made me apostle. But then right after that, he then appeals to the fact that he was out there sharing the gospel, and then for many, many years actually is out sharing the gospel. And then he takes the gospel message to the disciples and says, is there anything wrong with the gospel that I've been sharing? And they added nothing to it. And I'm only pointing that out because the fact is that he used their testimony. Think about that. He used the testimony of Peter for that gospel message saying, I got it right, okay? Because you can trust these guys, you can trust me. But then right on the backdrop of that, right on the backdrop of Peter's testimony to his gospel, they added nothing to it, saying, I've been preaching the proper gospel. He then says this, but when Cephas, speaking of Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. So yeah, hey, you can trust my gospel message because it's the same one Peter's preaching, but here's what happened when I rebuked him. I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. So obviously this is pretty messed up, right? Somebody who's traveling along with Peter is now being carried away. He says, but when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, boom, they were actually denying the gospel by their actions. Check that out. I said to Cephas, in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like the Jews? We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. But if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I've proved myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness come through the law, then Christ died for nothing or needlessly. And I think it's great because that verse in Galatians 2:20 is one that if you can encapsulate the life of the believer, it should be right there. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And it comes literally him quoting the rebuke he gave to Peter about the gospel message. And this was a scenario where he was face to face with Peter and he specifically said to him, that what he was doing, okay, was taking people away. Actually, he tells us that this is what was going on. And so he rebuked him to his face, quite clearly rebuking him so that others would not be led astray in this manner. So there are times where we rebuke face to face. There are times when Paul would write in a letter to warn people. There are times where Jesus just tells them the deeds of the Nicolaitan. So sometimes it's like that. And I want to talk about a specific thing that's going on, I guess an event that's taking place. And I'm not going to use any, I'm going to use some names, but I won't use the name of the pastor. And I'll tell you this, I've met this pastor before. I've talked with him. We talked about warnings concerning the emergent church the last time I had spoken with him. He probably wouldn't know me by name. I had met him at a kind of a conference thing that we were at, and we had a nice conversation. It was great. We gave him some of the, we had just come out as a ministry with this emerging church DVD that we had, and he seemed really sound. I had seen him give a wonderful message. And if you guys remember, John MacArthur did what was called the Strange Fire Conference, and it's interesting, if you went and listened to that conference, I would say that probably 90% of what they brought up during that conference, I would be in agreement with. The Benny Hinns of the world and these hyper-charismatics, they are not of God. They are not. They do not have the true Holy Spirit, and these people are wackadoos, all right? And that I think a lot of the conference brought to light to that. But the problem is that they go too far because they do exactly what the scriptures say not to. They go beyond that which is written. And so what they do is do a deduction in terms of their doctrine in what is called cessationism, which means that the gifts have ceased. Now, we do not believe the gifts have ceased simply because there's not a single scripture that says they have. In fact, when we look at it, we see the gifts in the beginning. We see them in the beginning of the church, God using it in a powerful way. And we also see in prophecy that they will be used at the end as well. So if they're at the beginning and the end, they're also going to be in the middle. And there's just some, not a single scripture, not one, that says that the gifts have ceased. So I don't want to go too far. And the problem is that when John MacArthur threw that Strange Fire Conference, he did throw the quote-unquote baby out with the bathwater, because there are people like myself who do not run in those dissipations, like Good Fight Ministries, like Blessed Hope Chapel, who do not believe that the gifts have ceased because there's no scripture that says that. But that doesn't make me Benny Hinn, simply because I believe what the scriptures teach on the subject. And so there is some baby bathwater being thrown out, all right? Baby being thrown out with the bathwater. So I want to make sure that we recognize that. And this pastor actually gave a message, and I think that's kind of where a lot of people found him for the first time. He talked about, I don't have the Benny Hinn study Bible, I have the John MacArthur study Bible. And I'm not a big fan of the John MacArthur study Bible because his dispensationalism and Calvinism, but nonetheless, I understood what he was saying. And it was a very good message concerning not being a cessationist. Now, he writes sometimes for Charisma Magazine, which I would never, and I know that Joe would probably never write for Charisma Magazine unless they would publish something where we would show disagreement with the things that they have in their magazine. But nonetheless, it was a good teaching, and I thought he did a great job of expressing. And so I would follow him here and there. I'd hear a couple messages. In all honesty, my personal opinion is that this specific pastor has gone far too political lately. A lot of his messages have to do with that. A lot of the recent events have a lot to do with voting and things like that, where I think we need to keep our eyes gospel-minded. It's no problem having conversations about those things. It's another thing to make them the narrative of what you're about. We want to make sure that we're about the gospel continually. And I think that politics give people such a wrong idea. And if you listen to some of the messages, not by him specifically, but by some of these guys that are pushing and touting, you know, obviously the Republican Party as the savior, it is very interesting that they think that what are we going to do? What is the Christian church going to do if liberals get in office? Oh, I don't know. What did they do? What did the early church do? You know what they did? They turned the world upside down with no political backing whatsoever. They were martyred and mowed down. And the early church father Tertullian wrote and stated very clearly that, do you not realize that the blood of the Christians is the seed of the church? So we need to set that groundwork and understand that it does not matter who is in office, because Christ is our King. He is our only King. He is the King of Kings. And I trust Him no matter what, that through every circumstance, anything that comes our way, we recognize we have Christ. And maybe sometimes, because every single leader, according to Romans chapter 13, is placed there by God, maybe He puts them there sometimes to shake us up. Because I can show you Republican areas in the Bible Belt over and over again that have nothing truly to do with Christ. They have nothing to do with the true gospel of Jesus Christ. They do not live in victory. They're drunk at the rodeo on Saturday night, and they're at church on Sunday morning. And this is the complacent version of the gospel that doesn't exist in Scripture. You know, I remember talking with an evangelist, and he said he had heard a story. So this is now, you know, five, you know, the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon we're going down here when it comes to this message. But it was something that stuck with me when I first heard this evangelist sharing on the streets, and we were talking afterwards, and he was talking about the Christian church being shaken up, and it needs to be shaken. You know, so we get too complacent and get, you know, sit down and be fat. And he's like, no, we need to be shaken up sometimes. And when it comes to persecution, it's one of the best ways to do it. And he said that he heard a pastor preach on, you know, fish that were coming across the sea. And over again, they'd have these fish in these tanks, and they would come to serve, you know, bring them out here to America. And by the time they'd get up here, they were swimming around, everything was fine. But over the long journey, they'd be belly up and dead. Like, what is going on? Why do these things? They're losing a lot of money because the fish are just dying. And they're like, they're feeding them. They don't understand what's going on. And he said what they did was they put a predator in there. And when the predator was chasing them around, they continued to move and move and move. And because the predator was chasing them, they stayed alive. And now all of a sudden, yeah, they lose a few, but guess what? They have a lot of fish that they can sell. He said, sometimes we need that predator to be there. We need to be chased around a little bit, and the church sometimes need to be shaken. And I think that's quite true. And when you see the places of persecution of the church, that's typically where you see the greatest growth. What's going on in China and Iran and these places, you see this just vast growth. Don't get me wrong, it is great to have the rights that we have. It is a blessing. But let's not act like that the end all and the only way we can share the gospel in this country is if we get the right leaders in. That's just not how it works. That's not proven analytically. That's not proven in Scripture. Okay, it is great, and yes, we want to vote our conscience and all of that. I don't believe a believer, and I've said this over and over again, and I don't care. I don't believe a believer can prayerfully consider and then vote for somebody who's for the slaughter of babies, like Joe Biden is, who's for sex changes for 8-year-olds. I don't believe that a believer could be prayerfully considering and sticking a ballot and said, yes, I want this person to lead, who's vice president. Literally went after illegally the man who exposed Planned Parenthood for selling baby parts. So All of those things. It's not like we stand to the side, but we should not put our hope and trust in anything other than Jesus Christ himself. So that's just for a side note. But what brought my attention, and this was the one that really bothered me, the politics aside, whatever that is, this is the one that really bothered me. Now, we have done, and so sadly, when I watched the video that was made by this pastor, because people had asked him questions, and I'm going to get to why they were asking him questions, and if you heard the title, you should already know, but it sounded very much like he could be talking to Good Fight Ministries. As many of you know, we did what turned into a 5-part series covering Bethel. We examined Bill Johnson's Bethel Church. We did the Bethel and Friends Contagion, Bethel Sozo Obsession, Hogwarts School of Supernatural Ministry. And then we did a live show where we actually talked about one of the things that had recently taken place after we had already filmed the 4-part series and showed some of the witchcraft that they had going on in their church. And so before I list all the things that we went through, and I'll list quite a few, I want to point this out. This was not done when we did our Bethel series. This was not done on a whim. This was not done in a fashion or manner that was simply, I just really want to sniff out some heresy and I want to really let everyone know we're really mad at the heretics. No, this was done with absolute prayer over and over again. As I talked about on the show, and now that's far exceeded that, I listened specifically to over 27 hours of Bethel teaching because I do not believe in inaccurately sharing what somebody believes in order to push my narrative, in order to get clicks, in order to get likes. I believe that's unbiblical, it's unsound, it's unscriptural, and the fact is that God doesn't like that. He doesn't want your balances and your weights and your scales to be unmeasured. He wants them to be properly measured. And so I did that. Joe has done that for a number of years. And it was really important to us that we accurately taught what Bethel teaches. Because we saw their music come into the church. And we saw that a lot of people were really into them. And we said, well, let's make sure we know what they're teaching when we say this is not sound. So this pastor, who, like I said, I had a lot of respect for him. I still do in a lot of ways, and I hope that he repents of this because I think this is not a biblical way. And I'm going to go through some of the lists he gave as to why, in a little video he made, as to why he is going to be having Bethel play a Bethel artist, and already has on a live stream, but then at an event coming up, having a Bethel artist actually lead worship for his church, because I think there are a lot of big problems, especially because he is a shepherd and this is really, really dangerous. And so here was some of the videos. As I said, October 24th, he's throwing an event and he's having Kim Walker Smith. Now, she's one of the singers on Jesus Culture. She's one of the directors and the leaders there at Bethel's music group when it comes to their teaching as well. She's used to help teach people how to worship. And seeing the video that this pastor made concerning why people asking, well, I thought you were sound, why are you doing this? Some of these are quotes, some of these are somewhat of a transliteration, but he said he saw some of the videos of Bethel and he said he's not quick to say false teacher, heretic. So he takes his time before he says that. I can say the same. It takes me a while before I would say something like that. But I wanted to get a short list of the things we exposed in our recent series, and I encourage you, and Tony, I know, will put the playlist of all 5 videos on this link, and we are going to make that available, not just digitally, but Tony is pinching his finger saying he's almost there. We're going to be making this available to our followers, our listeners, our brothers and sisters in Christ, so that you can have also something that you can literally hand out. And we actually plan, I just took a group of 18, I'm hoping to take just as many up to Reading and hopefully share this with the people in Reading and share the dangers that they're getting involved in the false teaching that is going on there. As I said, we did not do this inaccurately. We weren't just throwing things out there. We made sure we checked and documented and played video and sound and everything so you guys know what they teach. So I wanted to go over just a couple of things that they teach. Here's one of them, the little gods doctrine. You cannot get around it. Chris Vallatin, he says, the little God's doctrine. You can't get around it. And that coincides with when they misquote a misunderstanding of Proverbs 18, where we read that life and death are in the power of the tongue. They believe because they are little gods that they can create. In fact, we had people from Bethel write to us on our videos, "I am a little god, I can create with my words." Yes, that is something that you could go through the comment sections on our Bethel and find people from Bethel saying, "Yes, I can." Guys, this is beyond dangerous. We quote Bill Johnson talking about Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry saying specifically that every single person there before they can graduate has to false prophesy. That's a fact. You cannot get around it. He believes that every single person needs to quote unquote fail in prophesying, and even talks about somebody he had come and preach and completely did false prophecy from the pulpit. And you know what he did is, boom, asked him once again to preach again the next time. So this is no joke. We have both him and Chris Vallatin, Bill Johnson and Chris Vallatin, praying for the mantle of William Branham, a known and arch heretic who denies the Trinity. These are not small things. These are not minuscule. They have sozo prayer involved in their ministry. Sozo prayer involves not only talking and apparently asking which one of the triune Godhead you're going to pray to, but also involves memory editing and new age junk. And that many of those in sozo, including some of the pastors from Bethel, have been led to quote unquote forgive God because of Bethel's sozo prayer. I mean, guys, this is not little minute things. These are ginormous heresies. We have them commanding angels. And yes, and I read in the article written by this pastor that they, you know, they've already answered about the grave soaking. And hey, you know, I have pictures with people that, you know, these guys might be heretics, and you can get a lot from pictures because obviously Bill Johnson's wife, Benny Johnson, is seen laying on a grave and people commenting that they wanted to soak up what she was soaking up. To no rebuke, to no saying this is wrong. We have videos over and over again with Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry, people from them going and soaking from graves. I know I've listened to Michael Brown's interview with Bill Johnson and heard Bill Johnson say, no, we don't do that. I listened to the way Michael Brown posited that question in order to make sure that, guess what? That, hey, I know this is preposterous, that I even have to ask this. Hey, you have people from your ministry doing this stuff. I know for a fact, if people from Good Fight Ministries, if people from Blessed Hope Chapel, if people involved with 511 Street Team were doing this stuff, I would make a video rebuking it and saying, don't you dare do this. This is necromancy. This is demonic. Get away from this. Okay? And we need to be careful to point that out. It's very, very important. Now, this pastor also said that he admitted that a lot of the movements that they're doing are not from the Holy Spirit. And he said, maybe they aren't as far along as you at assessing and knowing certain things, and that having her lead worship will lead to a great opportunity to then ask them questions along the lines of, hey, you know, what about the Passion Translation and some of this other stuff that's going on? And that they need sound, strong theological grounding. All of that sounds pretty good, except for the fact that you're having them lead worship. I think that's absolutely ridiculous to recognize some of these big, major, not minor. If you think that they're throwing around the Holy Spirit around, and I believe even in this video, admittedly so, not actually being a move of the Holy Spirit, and then they're going to come and lead over your people, teach them with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, that is a major, major problem. And what's interesting is this pastor in the video that I watched said Matthew 18 is about restoration, not kicking people to the curb. Big, big problem with that. Kim Walker Smith is not a part of your congregation. If she was, she shouldn't be in leadership. So taking a sin privately to them, then with multiple people, we agree without a doubt that Matthew 18 is about church discipline in the local congregation. And so we take that and say, yes, without a doubt, I believe that it's been used improperly, where people are like, yeah, let's figure out how to, you know, just knock off these parts of Matthew 18, then we can get them out the church. That's not biblical, right? Because right after the church discipline, right, that goes and takes place, it's how many times should we forgive? 70 times 7, right? So we want to forgive the repentant, right? We also don't want to be warned, as 1 Corinthians, the letter to Corinthians, that they're accepting this disgusting behavior in their church. Now, this is rank heresy that comes out of Bethel. And so having them lead worship is not the same as Matthew 18. Yes, it's about reconciliation. It's about restoration. But it's knowing that sin is there, bringing it to that person. And when they bring it before the church, I hope and pray that you don't say, yes, but please continue to lead worship over our fellowship. That is something entirely different. This is not simply, this is dangerous. Let's just call it what it is. This is mightily dangerous to be going out there and allowing someone to lead worship. Because guess what, your congregation, when you post on your Facebook page her song saying, can't wait for them to play on October 24th or whatever, guess what you're telling your congregation? That this is sound. It doesn't matter if you make a video and you make sure to speak on both sides and say, oh, well, I really want to speak to them and we got to ask questions. Don't we want to know the truth? Yes, we do. And I want to know the truth and I want to share with them without them leading my congregation astray. As a shepherd, you need to make sure that your sheep aren't being led astray. And this is absolutely wolves in sheep's clothing. And we're inviting the wolf up and saying, just come hang out with the sheep and maybe you'll become a sheep. No, we want to make sure that we mark them who cause division, not according to sound doctrine. We do so in love. I have prayed for, alongside Tony, alongside Joe, every single person that we've ever exposed the false teaching of, prayed for them earnestly. And it's not just flippant, yeah, we hope we can pray that they come back. No, we pour out our hearts for them. And I pray that those who are being led astray by Bethel, or those, and guys, this isn't like, oh, she's a new believer, because in the video he goes and says, oh, well, you know, a lot of millennials, they really love Jesus. They just need some sound biblical doctrine. Guys, we're talking about well over a decade that Kim Walker Smith has been involved with Bethel. We're not talking about something where this is just some new thing, some young girl who's getting, like, we're talking about she graduated from Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. We're talking about somebody who has led in worship for well over a decade at that church, is a leader there. We're not talking about somebody that, oh, they're just so young in their faith. Guys, this is something where we need to be loving, share the truth. And I was going to read something from an article he wrote. He said, how inconsistent should a group be before we completely discontinue their worship? He says, should we also eliminate songs from Elevation Worship, Hillsong, and a few others because we disagree with some of what their pastors teach? Yes and no. No, it's just yes. When you know what the doctrines are, when you recognize it, you say, yeah, we just don't do that anymore. I can tell you this. I started learning worship guitar because I wanted to share the gospel on the streets and I wanted to be able to take my kids out. And I had no idea, oh, come to the altar, who that was from. So I learned that song, and then I realized it's from Elevation Worship, and I realized that Stephen Furtick is a false teacher, so I don't play that music anymore, right? And it's the same thing with Hillsong. I know too much by now of their doctrines and the stuff that they do that I cannot, with a clear conscience, play their music. Bethel, all alike, right? And so we need to be able to do that, and as a shepherd, it's our job. It doesn't mean we're perfect, right? You can ask Tony. We've played music that he doesn't play anymore because he said, wait a second, this is connected to Bethel and stuff. And we just can't do that anymore. And we need to be able to say it in love and say, we don't do that anymore because we don't invite you to the table and say, you know what? You're a brother in Christ. This is all fine. All this music is okay because it sounds sound when it's not. And we got to make sure of that. And we care enough about them that we share the truth and we never have them being our leaders.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5:11 News.